Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And normally come on at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, but this morning got started a little bit different, coming on here at 11 a.m. with a special topic that people have asked me to cover again called What's Holding Black Folks into Poverty? What is it about this thing called poverty? What is it that are holding black folks into poverty? What we're going to do is we're going to look at some internal factors today. There's some external things that goes on in this country as far as racism, but then there's also some internal things. There's things that people have control over if they decide to. So many factors in life, and you can learn to analyze so many situations in your life that you can actually force racism to be able to change the way it deals with you. You know, I mean, there's people who have achieved tremendous things in this society in spite of racism. So, you know, we don't want to dwell on the external factors this morning. We want to dwell on the internal factors. There's some things internally that, regardless of racism, that one can do to be able to improve their financial situation. The conditions that hold black folks in poverty are both, I say, internal and external. And, you know, yes, the external factors are those over which you have very little or no control, which include racism, interest rates, natural disasters. Of all of the factors and variables that have been at work on black folks in the last, say, 100 years, influencing our ability to survive or perish, one has stood out among the rest, racism. Racism is a continuous and unyielding. Black folks can eventually adjust to the price of all natural disasters and the loss of jobs. But racism is like a shadow following you constantly, everywhere you go, or so it seems. And so it's important that we look at what can we do internally to make sure that we understand. Racism has been used by many black people as an excuse for lack of determination in pursuing a goal simply because it was a pain in the ass and dampened our spirits. Every single successful black person in the history of this country, whether they were rich or not, had to overcome racism. It is probably less of an excuse for failing now for the strong and determined than ever before in history of this racist nation. It's not what we're about to say for all the things that we have to deal with internally that can change our situation does not let racism off the hook. Yes, America is a very racist, ugly, nasty nation. We got to remember how this country was built. It was built on the backs of African people. The railroad system was built on the backs of immigrants and Chinese workers and other stuff. This country has a long history of racism. In spite of that, and this is not to let racism off the hook, there's been people that have found a way to achieve some level of success to weaken bury racism once and for all. And for some people, you know, they have an illusion that because we ended up with a black president that we're in a colorless society. And if that was the case, then Trayvon Martin would still be alive. But he's not. Because of racism, because of this racist country, George Zimmerman wasn't even looked upon that what he did was a racist act. You know, they tried to make it seem as though Trayvon was a thug. That's a whole nother show. I don't want to get sidetracked. I just want to make sure that the point is understood, that the things that I'm going to go over that we can deal with internally does not let racism off the hook, does not say that America is not a white supremacist racist nation, but we have to learn how other people come here. They come here not to get involved in American culture. They come here for economic opportunity. And what is the economic opportunity that exists in front of us as far as us as African Americans and black people? And what can we do internally so that we can make those opportunities work for us? Well, first of all, number one is we need to make sure that we understand wealth building principles, because one of the things that hurts us internally is our lack of awareness of wealth building principles. I think it is pretty obvious that more black folks would have escaped poverty if they understood in a concrete way the principles of how money is made in this country. And it's important that we understand that, you know, because until we understand how money is made in this country, that money is more than cash, food stamps, WIC, and other things. Not to say that people that receive those type of things don't need them, but, you know, money is more than that, you know. Stocks, bonds, debentures, promissory notes, return on investment. These are concepts that we need to make sure that we're clear about. Leverage, how to leverage what you do to earn money. Again, you know, we share a business opportunity through this radio program that too often people overlook because they don't understand leverage and understanding how to get a return on their investment. So lack of understanding of wealth-building principles is the number one thing that's holding black folk into poverty. That's number one. Number two, looking for the good job. I know it sounds strange to say that a good job keeps black folks in poverty, or at least away from wealth, but I can think of nothing more dangerous to an ambitious, talented black person than a good job. The good job usually means the following took place, is taking place. You went to college, you competed against whites and other blacks for the job, and you went out. You had a responsibility which you are proud of. You have an image, a social, professional, intellectual image, which gives you an understanding of your own self-worth. In a sense, you have become your job. Finally, the two last nails in the coffin, the good job, or the promise of future advancement and the promise of security, benefits, pensions, and stuff like that. What we want to point out above is a person who is now pretty much out of control of his life. He or she is a company man or woman. The company holds our promises, which all blacks realize are vague and usually reneged upon, yet we give the company our life in exchange for whatever it prepared to give in return. The higher we rise up the corporate ladder, the more out of control we are. The more cautious we become in speech, dress, mannerisms, and values, and the list goes on. We move our home when the company says move. Now for this good job person to risk his salary, his social, professional image, his standing, his benefits and security, and his dreams of an assistant vice president to strike on his own is absolutely inconceivable. Explaining that there is more freedom than hundreds of thousands of dollars in operating, say, his own McDonald's or a network marketing company, and that there is playing invisible zombie at the corporate headquarters for a $30,000 executive position. It doesn't register. He's been in the company for 15 years doing what he or she was told. Freedom, real money, ownership of assets, these ideas simply do not sink in. In the real sense, a black person with a good job in a corporation he's worked for 10 years is very much like the convict who's been in prison for 10 years or more. Neither one of them can make it on the outside, regardless of how much strength and character they demonstrate inside. See, the good job enslaves you to another kind of lifestyle, and, you know, you begin to accept the bullcrap that they have for you, and you won't venture beyond that bullcrap. Number three, the fear of failure. That centers around what will they say syndrome. Many, many people, especially blacks, would have and could have done some fantastic things in their life if only they weren't scared of failing. I don't know how anyone could ever adopt the attitude that I will only try to do challenge if I can know ahead of time that I will be perfect. Doesn't that sound stupid? Yet that is apparently what many people expect. Actually, I believe fear of failure is not the exact term. It's more like the fear of what will they say if I mess up. People sometimes care too much about their image. Young men go off to war to kill or be killed rather than to be called a coward because they would hurt their image. People fear failure not because they couldn't deal with it, but because they would have a lot of emotional problems of ridicule by friends or family. See, people won't try certain business ventures because they're worried about what their friends are saying. Why are you doing that? That ain't going to work. You crazy. Many times the friends and family will have a fear of failure for you. If you tell them that you think you would like to try such and such, they may immediately give you 118 reasons why you shouldn't do it. Most meanwhile, they actually believe that they are protecting you from certain failure and disappointment that they believe is sure to follow. If you are wishy-washy, you easily convinced to give up something that you didn't even try. Most people will always say, I don't care what anybody thinks of me, and yet be very controlled by what other people think of them. Money-hungry go-getters say it and mean it, and only after they have the wealth that they were after do they start to really care about what other people care about them. See, it's important that you have to make what we call business decisions, entrepreneurial decisions versus worker decisions. And that is a tough transition for a lot of black people because we've been taught to get the good job, do the right thing, you know, do what the boss say, be a company person, you know, kiss ass, do all of those different things that you're told to do that's going to protect your future at that company so that you can get the pay raise, get, be in a position that they won't be firing you, that you can get promoted. So, you know, you kiss up. You know what I mean? There's a whole thing about people that will teach you when you get on a job about how to kiss up. I think that black folks are extremely affected by this problem because segregated society forces us to live together, and so it is more important in a sense to protect one's image in the community from which one knows he cannot escape very easily. Black folks are so quick and so hard and so vicious in the ridicule that they give each other that the emotions get inflamed to a greater degree than the situation merits many, many times. Thus, extreme precaution is used to avoid nasty confrontations over silly situations. You know, people are afraid, you know, my friends are going to think I lost my mind because I'm going to try this business venture and eventually look at how to get off my job. You know, I remember when my wife left from Social Security back in the, in 1986. You know, her friends was like, you worked your way to such and such position, and you're going to leave to go do a business? You need to really think about that. You done lost your mind. So, you know, these decisions that we make to move forward, too often we don't make the move because we're really worried about what other people are going to think of us. The number four thing that holds black people into poverty is new luxury car payments. And, you know, people get caught into the luxury car payments, you know what I mean? You know, hey, I got to get me a Mercedes-Benz. I call it a Mercy-Benz. And what happens is that, you know, we ride around and, we pay for these cars, so you get trapped, the financial trap. You got the job, you can afford to get the big luxury car. And why do you buy the car? Because you want to impress your friend. You ride around in it. You know, you barely can afford to make the payments, but you make them so that it goes with the image of, quote-unquote, this good job. So you got the luxury car, and then you're going to have the, you know, the luxury lavish clothes that you want to wear to drive in the car so you can look like you're Madison Avenue. You want to be able to look rich. You say, I worked hard, I owe it to myself, and put yourself in the hole for another 3 or 4 years. You eventually have a permanent bill which keeps you from gaining other credit, purchasing a decent home for your family, and saving any money. With no other credit savings at home, you stay in poverty. So, you know, that's very deep in terms of, you know, those people that get the job, and then they got to buy the pretty car, dress a certain way to go with the car, all because, again, they're worried about image, and again, which was tied into about fear of failure. What will they say? I'm not going to try to do a business venture because you're worried about people tasting. Man, you going to try that business thing? You know, what you going to do about your Mercedes you got? And, you know, you're going to lose everything you got. You go try a business. You got a good job. They like you where you work, you know. And so it's important to understand, you know, this number four, new luxury cars and how it holds us back into poverty. why not get in a business venture? You can get in a business venture like we have here at YTV, and the company will give you a car, but buy it for you, a luxury car that you don't have to pay for. So, you know, people get trapped into that. Number five, television. Television is deadly. Its value to black folks especially is less than zero in most cases. Fortune builders, people that are active in making money, television makes you passive. Builders deal with reality. Television makes you believe in fantasy. Fortune builders learn to admire themselves. Television watchers admire the people on television. Fortune builders love their work. Television watchers work to buy a television they love. I could go on and on, but I think you get to see the point. Television doesn't add in any way to the value of a person's intellect, skill, morality, intuition, or much of anything else. It does teach you how things are sold. National statistics say we stare at this tube for about 5 hours a night, every night. That's 35 hours a week or 4 working days. Do you know how much money can be made in 4 working days? See, people watch television. I mean, I call it tell-lie vision. You know, it tells you lies that dampen your vision. And it's like when people come to my house, me and my wife, we don't have a television. I don't watch it. I need news. I get it off the Internet. I'm not a television watcher. I don't know what's taking place on Scandal or any of those shows that people, you know, they break their neck to make sure that they don't miss an episode of Scandal. They can tell you all about it. It's the same with the daytime soap operas with those people that, you know, are home during the day and watch The Young and the Restless, you know, as the world turns. And you know, should only remember the names of the shows because I remember growing up as a child, people watching them, and they're still on the day, and they control people's time. Television is very deadly. It is deadly if you want to build yourself a fortune and build yourself a business. You don't need to watch television. Number six, and this is a big one too, sexual escapades. You know, people, you know, they one of the things that holds people into poverty is, you know, spending too much time on sex. The main thing is you need to find a life partner, get married, and make sure that y'all have a healthy, good sex life. Because other than that, you'll be out there chasing for men. You'll be chasing skirts. And, you know, you'll lose everything you got. For women who spend a lot of time in the bedroom, the consequences can be worse. Unwanted children or abortions, guilt, complex, and frustration of not capturing a permanent main man. Sitting in the kinds of attitudes and self-conscious that make winning the money game virtually impossible. You know, so, you know, sexual escapades, you know, getting caught up into the nightlife scene is very deadly when it comes to wanting to succeed in business. And I've seen people who get in business ventures and bring that foolishness with them. It's, like I said, it's important. You need to find yourself a partner, and hopefully between you and your partner, y'all can find y'all sexual outlet for each other, so that you don't be distracted by all of the other people that you're going to see out here, because there's always going to be somebody that's going to come at you. I remember my father had a long conversation with me a long time ago about watch out for Sweet Booty Lou. He said, you know, don't lose everything you got for Sweet Booty Lou. You know, hopefully y'all understand what I'm talking about. But sexual escapades is one of the other things that's holding black folk into poverty. You know, we get caught up in them. Who can you do it to? You know, I mean, I even seen women who get caught up into, you know, I got this guy, you know, I'm involved with him because I get such and such from him, and I got this other guy, I'm involved with him, and I get such and such from him. It's a waste of time. Number seven, this is a big one, drugs and alcohol. Drugs and alcohol heavies, real big heavies. You know, because what happens, it takes you off course. You know, and so you got people who begin to make a certain amount of money, and I've seen this happen. People make a certain amount of money, and they got said, you know, they figured they're going to go to and get involved with what they call the rich man's high, cocaine. And cocaine took everything that they had. So, you know, you got to make sure you watch out for the drug and the alcohol thing. Number eight is prison records. the countless studies which exist on the U.S. prisons population, they all say pretty much the same thing, that minorities are jailed at a much higher proportion than any numbers in the general population. Minorities receive longer sentences for the same type of crimes that whites commit. Prison systems do not rehabilitate but simply punish. Prison systems do not equip inmates with marketable skills during the imprisonment period. So, you know, prison stifles people, too, because I see people go to prison, and even though they can come out and they can really can get involved in a business, or they can do like Don King said he did. He didn't serve time. He made time serve him. But too often people go to jail, and they come out, and they think they're going to be slicker. What I'm going to do this time won't get me back in jail. So that's another thing that's holding black folk into poverty. Number nine, unemployment. Now, black unemployment has been cited as the number one cause for black poverty. And you'll find no argument here with me on that fundamental point. What I'd like to do here, however, is to make a few comments which may change the way you look at unemployment and the unemployed. Many jobs go unfulfilled in this country not because the requirements are beyond the capacity of black folks, but because of the job's low pay and prestige. Most people look at a job as an end in itself rather than a means to greater ends. Because so much status, value, and self-concept is tied to what a person does for a living, many people would rather collect unemployment or welfare than work a job which they believe degrades them. Up to this point, my attitude is rather understandable. But the action plan presented for changing your wealth may alter your thinking on this point. How would you feel if I told you that there's an occupation in this country which does not require college education, which would lead to a lot of money, and best of all, from which you could never really get fired? Would that excite you? Well, get ready. It's network marketing. That's right, network marketing. Think about it from this point of view. If you could learn to market, learn to enjoy selling and profit from selling, you would never be out of work as long as you lived in the United States of America. It's because America is one of the big supermarkets where everything is always for sale. The easiest thing in the world to do is pick up a paper and find a sales job. Millions of people in this country make their living selling things. Only a small part of this number is composed of black folks. Many black folks who do sell for a living do so on salary basis rather than commission basis. There are many reasons for this feasible representation of blacks in sales. So network marketing is the answer to unemployment. You don't need no prior skills, training, or commitment. You just need to know how to go out there and do it. Number 10, isolation into the negative environment of the ghetto. There would be many more stories of success in the black community if the main energetic talent folks were not so isolated in pockets of negativity and helplessness. While it is true that the only strong terminal will survive, there are many situations which would test the will and sanity of the strongest among us. Poor home life and school systems can ruin many a talented youngster and lead them as a prime candidate to absorb the distractions of drugs, crime, alcohol, and other productive enterprises. As a vicious cycle is created whereby black folks are drawn into the underlife of the community, thereby increasing its numbers and attracting even more recruits. I've talked to people about business, and I have people come back to me and say, what you're doing, that sounds interesting, but we can make more money selling crack. Being locked into that negative environment of the ghetto, where the ghetto becomes the universe. That's their universe. They look at that and they try to figure out how to hustle within a negative environment. Number 11, thing that's holding black people in poverty is poor business attitudes. You know, I could spend the next 2 years discussing black business ideas with you. White folks go into business to make money, whereas black folks go into business to be the boss. And the thing is, we need to learn about how to go in business to make money, not to go in business to be somebody's boss. That's a mistake that we make. Be a business, I'm going to hire people, I'm going to be their boss. Why? Because to be is to be like, so we want to try to imitate the things that we see happening in other parts of society. Make sure if you're thinking about business, it's how I'm going to make money, not how I'm going to be somebody's boss. And make sure you have good business attitudes. Number 12, non-acceptance of the delay-reward philosophy. The basic reason why people are willing to go through any type of sacrifice is because they believe that the rewards of such sacrifice will be great and will be worth the effort. This kind of person is full of faith in the future. It would be surprising that black folks generally have no reason to have this kind of confidence in the future themselves. We can depend on virtually nothing because we don't control the rules of society. In many cases, after we have sacrificed to reach a certain position, white folks change the rules on us and our dreams and faith become a myth or a joke. Many folks of incredible talent and potential say, what the hell? Live life for the day and let tomorrow take care of itself. Black folks have seen how the young and the unsuspecting are knocked down by problems and circumstances that would never have occurred had the person been white. Sacrifice for what? Delayed gratification. The only thing that has been certain for black folks is delayed gratification. I understand and appreciate both the attitudes and the conditions with such attitudes. The problem, however, is that no one else can eliminate as a factor of striking and enriching this country. The serious fortune builder must sacrifice and must plan for the future and must understand that the real value of their work will only really be obvious at a later time and place. In other words, there must be delayed gratification. You know, it says that a good man is an inheritance for his children's children. So you have to work with the belief that, you know, hey, what I do today is going to pay off tomorrow. Other than that, why even bother to get started? These are the 12 things that are holding African Americans, black people, into poverty. I hope you got something out of this morning. I hope this, you know, helped open your eyes to what you need to do and how to share. And remember, it's a stone-cold fact that network marketing is the best answer to eliminating a life of poverty. It might get frustrated for you, but there's a way. And in our company, we have what's called a YTB way. And if you want to learn about what we have to offer and how you can be able to get out of poverty and be able to move forward, make sure you just give us a call at 252-406-0774. Give us a call. Don't delay. Call today, and we will help you make sure that you do not get trapped into poverty. This has been Satawi Jahi, Baba Jahi, to most of my listening audience. I want to thank you for listening to this program today, and I approve this message. Have a wonderful, blessed day, and thank you for listening to Home Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio.